and us in here. So my talk will have like two parts. The first part I will talk about the class algebras and the basic definitions first. Then the second part I will focus on more concrete examples, namely the modular spaces. Okay. So yeah. So part one, some basics on class algebras. So I will follow the construction of Fermin and Zelenski, and also maybe some work of Falk and Gontroff, and many others. Okay. So first of all, I will define something called C. Okay. So this is some data. It consists of a set of variables, x1 until xn, and also w, which is a bivector. So these are all independent variables. And this is a bivector. And in particular, it is of a form like this. It can be written as a sum of aij, xi, partial of xi, which xj, partial of xj, something like this. So this is an explicit vector encoded by an skew symmetric, skew symmetric matrix, Aij. In particular, this one should be integral. So I assume all these coefficients Aij are integers. Okay. So this is called a seed, and geometrically, we can view this as a torus. So it's an algebraic torus. Maybe C star N with a Poisson structure. So which takes the bracket xi xj to arj, then xi times xj, something like this. Okay. Good. Okay, so this is a basic definition of C. So then I will apply something called mutations. So for each K in this 1 until n, so the n is equal to the number of variables there, and I can we can get a mutated seed, which is denoted by mu k of this I. Okay. So again, this is some data x1 prime until xn prime, and then w prime. Okay. So it has a concrete construction, so where this xi prime is equal to xk inverse if I is equal to k. Otherwise, it's xi times 1 plus xk to the power of negative the sine of this ark, then to the power of negative ark, something like this, if I is not equal to k. Okay. And this w prime is the same as w. Okay. So in this way, given a seed, we can just mutate at each direction, we can get a new seed, mu k of I. So maybe a few remarks on that construction. Well, first of all, this W prime or W can be also presented in terms of new variables x1 prime until xn prime. So namely, it has some form like this, the sum of aij prime, xi prime, xk prime, something like this. Okay. I just change the coordinates. Using those new coordinates, I can rewrite this W. And this will give us a new set of integers. So as a factor here, all these numbers, aij prime, are all integers. Okay. And so because we get a new seed, so one can further mutate this seed, mu k of I, so we get many other seeds using this new matrix aij prime. Okay. So, and the second remark, if we mutate at one vertex twice, then it will go back to the original seed. Okay. So geometrically, if you start with a seed, so you can mutate at each direction. So 1, 2, 3, until n. So if you mutate once again, it goes back. But you can mutate at other directions. Say 1, 3. So eventually, it will goes to become a tree, something like that. So that's why it's called a seed. It's like you put a seed, it will give rise to a tree somehow. I think that's how it's called, why it's called a seed. Okay, so that's the basic construction. And there is another construction which is kind of trivial but also important. It's called a permutation. So you consider a permutation sigma, and then you can just permute all those variables. So given a seed, you can define a new seed with x1 prime until xn prime and also w prime. So where this xi prime is the old S sigma of I, and also this bar vector w prime is equal to w. So basically, you just relabel all those variables in a certain sense. Okay. So those are basic constructions. Given a seed and two kinds of mutations, so you will get many other seeds. Okay. So then I can define something called cluster transformation. So it is a sequence, maybe called tau. That's just a composition of mutations and permutations. So not that you can always exchange the mutation and permutation, that eventually you'll get only one permutation on the very left. So it could be something like this, mu I2, mu IN, mu IM. So this is a sequence of mutations and permutations which taking a seed I to something like I prime. Okay, so this one is called a cluster transformation. And so now there is another definition which is also important called C matrix. So suppose we are given a cluster transformation tau, which takes a seed maybe say x1 until xn w to x1 prime until xn prime and w. Okay. Now that the bivector remains the same, so we can define a matrix. So I call this matrix, so we can define a matrix called C tor of with entries CRJ. So this CRJ is just the degree of this maybe X, I think XJ prime with respect to XI. So now that tau is a sequence of mutations and permutations, so those new variables are just rational functions of this the old variables x1 to xn. So I can, so this xj prime is just a rational function of this. I consider the degree, and the degree is called Cij. So this will give us a matrix. Yes. So I think the. There is a very non-trivial theorem of Keller and Nagel. So one may ask, when this tau is like an identical map, it takes this seed to itself. Okay. So, and the theorem says that I is equal to I prime. So the left one is I, this one is R prime. If and only if this C matrix C tau is an identical matrix. So I think this direction is trivial. So if they are the same, then the degree clearly gives us an identical matrix. So the other direction is totally non-trivial, I think. Yes, yes, take the. I think if one can take the lowest one or the highest one. Here I'm taking the lowest one. Okay. Good. So for yes, I think that's. We can rewrite this xj prime as a power series. So you take the lowest one. Yeah. So as I said, the other direction is totally non-trivial. So why? If this is identical than this. I think the proof use some like a categorification of cluster algebra. Okay, so that's the basics on cluster algebras. Starting from a seed, we can construct a tree, and there is a C matrix control this cluster transformation. Okay, so now let's talk about something called a cluster Poisson structure. It's still part one, the second half of part one. So here, let's assume that X is a rational variety. Over C, okay, and so a pair of alpha and W, this one is called a cluster Poisson structure on X if, well, first, this W is a bivector of X, and this alpha is a rational map, is a birational map from X to Cn. Okay. So C1 until X1 until Xn are coordinates. Okay. And such that so this one, x1 until xn, and I can also push forward this bivector using the coordinates, so I get a bivector on cn. Okay, if this one is forms a seed, then I will call this pair alpha W a classed Poisson structure on X. And I will introduce a notation I of alpha W. This is a seed. Okay.
So the
PD
is
closed? Huh?
Is closed to the cluster transformation to get coordinates on X?
This one? I did not understand the question. So W is a bivector, yes. So eventually you can still play the same game. You can get many other coordinates, I guess.
Does W have a derivative?
It's rational. It's not regular.
But the map is
rational. So far I only consider birational structure. So everything is rational. But later, I will consider more carefully about regularity. So I think here this is a rational. Okay, so we see two Poisson structures, alpha W and maybe another one, alpha W prime. They are equivalent. If so, for each one, we will get a C, I of alpha W, and I of alpha prime W prime. And if they are related by a cluster transformation. Okay, cluster transformation is defined before. Okay. And also, if given this X equipped with a cluster Poisson structure, and then we can define this P, which is a birational map. I think it's a birational map from X to itself. We say this P is a cluster automorphism if this one gives us a cluster structure alpha W, and I can compose this alpha with P and W. This gives us another cluster structure. And if P preserves the cluster structure, namely those two are equivalent, then we see P is a cluster automorphism. Okay. So in this way, we will get a discrete group consists of all those cluster automorphisms. So we can define GX. This is the group of all cluster automorphisms. And this is called a cluster modular group. And so let's study this group. So for any element P, we can associate this to a C matrix, so called maybe CP alpha, so which taking, so first of all, this alpha W will give us a seed, and we can compose this P, we get another seed. And so there is a C matrix taking this to this by taking the, consider the corresponding degrees. And so again, this is again a direct consequence of Kalinagawa theorem. So for any P and Q, which are elements of this, in this group, so we have those elements are the same if and only if the corresponding C matrix are the same. Cp alpha is equal to Cq alpha. Okay. And well, not that, so this is not a, is not a, a group homomorphism. So namely, one can take the, consider the C matrix of two P composed with Q and alpha. This is not equal to Cp alpha times Cq alpha as matrix. Okay. But somehow this matrix still characterizes those elements. So when we say two elements are the same, if and only if the corresponding C matrix are the same. And in a certain sense, this is like a tropicalization of this. Okay. Okay. So now I want to define one of the keywords on my title that's called class a Donaldson-Thomas transformation. So a definition. So if there is some element in this group G of X such that the C matrix Cp alpha is negative identity. If it is identity, then this is clearly trivial. This one, P, is also identical map. But we also consider negative identity. And then this P is called a cluster Donaldson-Thomas transformation. So maybe a few remarks. So first of all, such a P may not exist. I mean, one cannot guarantee that there is an element such that its symmetric is negative identity. But if it does, then it satisfies many nice properties. Well, first of all, this P is unique. This follows the theorem. So if two elements are the same, if and only if the same matrix are the same. Okay. And also universal. So universal means that if given two cluster Poisson structure which are equivalent, then this Cp alpha is negative identity if only if Cp alpha prime is also negative identity. Okay. I mean, here the definition somehow relies on the choice of alpha, but the theorem says that it actually does not depend on any choice of alpha. So somehow this map is canonical. Okay, so we also know that this P belongs to the center of this group G of X. Okay. So which also follows maybe from the universal property, it's an easy consequence. And the last property contains all the information of about the dt invariants of certain 3D Calabi category. Which is maybe denoted by C of Q and W. Well, first of all, let me explain what is this. Yeah. So here, Q is a quiver, which is determined by the skew symmetric matrix Aij. Okay, so given a seed, there is a skew symmetric matrix. So this will give us a quiver, basically by considering Aij is a number of arrows from I to J minus number of arrows from J to I. And this W is something called a generic position potential. Okay. So this one has some. So according to the theorem of maybe Kontsevich and Silverman, one can associate some dt invariants to this category by counting some. So first of all, one have to assign some stability condition to this, and by counting semi-stable elements of certain class from K naught of this, one can define the dt invariants, and one can put all those dt invariants together, give us some like power series called dt series, and so if we conjugate that dt series to the original one, we will get the dt transformation. So that's how we start from this picture to define the dt transformation. And conversely, if given a dt transformation, so explicitly there is a sequence of class mutations. So each one will give us a power series, and we can consider the product of them, we get back the dt invariants. Let me just skip this part first, so we can talk about more details if we have time. Okay. All right. I just want to verify the name, why it's called a cluster DT transformation. Okay, so, and if this map exists, then we also have some other thing, the duality conjecture. Of Falk-Gontarov is true. Okay, so we can prove the duality conjecture if we can show that this P exists. Okay, so what do I mean by this duality conjecture? So if you have an X, it's a with some class the Poisson structure alpha W, then we can define a ring. This is called upper cluster algebra. Of X, so which consists of rational functions of this variety, such that for any cluster Poisson structure, maybe beta W, which is equivalent to this alpha W, so we can consider. So this F is a map from X to C. Okay. And so beta is a birational map between X and Cn. So we call this beta inverse. Okay. So if the composition of alpha and beta inverse, so this will give us a rational map from Cn to C. And if this is a Laurent polynomial, for all such beta, and then we take the set of all such f, this will give us a ring called upper cluster algebra. And those functions are called a universal Laurent polynomial. And so as a, so here is a theorem of GHKK, Gross, Hikins, Keel, and Kontsevich. It says that if this P exists, then so this upper cluster algebra admits a natural a linear basis. B of X, which is preserved by this cluster module group action. So this action only permutes the elements here. And also, this basis is with non-negative structural coefficients. Actually, non-negative integral structural coefficients. Okay. So, namely, if given any elements of the basis, so let's take the product of them, and we can rewrite this as a linear combination of basis elements again. So, with some coefficients, C, F, G, H, G, and those coefficients are all non-negative integers. And actual conjecture, they should correspond to something like certain open Gromov-Witten invariants. So conjecturally, they are some like open grammar of Witten invariants. I think the so they prove this by counting some broken lines. So that's like a tropicalization of some, I don't know. It's a, they give a like concrete proof using scattering diagrams.
Also, do elements of those bases have coefficients in Lorentz expansion?
What?
So all the elements of the bases have Lorentz series, right?
Yes.
Do they also have positive coefficients?
Yes. Yes, so if we rewrite this as Rom polynomials, they are all positive coefficients. I think it was called positivity conjecture before, and they proved that. Yes, it's a theorem now. Because they constructed these elements by counting certain broken lines, and clearly the coefficients are just a number of those lines, should be positive.
So does this theorem mean that this this class algebra is actually not empty?
The class algebra is.
Yes, it is actually has elements.
And so here I have to assume that this exists, then it holds.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So it seems very
material. Yeah. So it also has another property. So these bases actually can be parametrized. But it's the tropicalization of its Langlands dual. And actually, there is another version of class varieties called class A varieties. And one can consider the tropicalization of this. And so the Falk-Gontchoff's duality conjecture says that actually there is a bijection between here and here, so which also follows from this. Okay, so that's the second half of part one. So now I have maybe 20 minutes to talk about a concrete example. So that's part two of this talk, so which is we consider a moduli spaces of G local systems. Okay, so first of all, I will consider a decorated surface. Call this S hat. It is a pair of surface S and a finite subset of SM. So this S is a compact oriented and topological surface, maybe with or without boundary. And M is a finite subset of S. Okay. So to draw a picture, so the surface could be something like this. And so M, namely, we can assign some marked points on the boundary or maybe inside. So this is called a decorated surface. And here, so according to this picture, we can separate this M to two parts. So MB stands for points on the boundary. And MP be points inside. And this one are also called punctures. Okay. So here I have some maybe a further assumption. First, I assume that each boundary component of the surface S has at least one marked point. Okay, so here basically it has two boundary components, and each one should have at least one. And the second assumption is that the total number of marked points is greater or equal to one. And maybe another assumption, if genus of this surface is zero, then we have to assume that the total number of M is greater or equal to three. Okay. So I only consider decorated surface like this. And now let's consider some local systems on this surface. So G is a connected semi-simple algebraic group with trivial center. And it's over C, maybe. Okay. For example, G could be something like PGLN of C. So. And we can consider a flag variety. Which is isomorphic to G mod B. And this is the same as the set of all Borel subgroups. Okay. B is a Borel subgroup. Okay. So we can consider the homomorphisms of the fundamental group pi 1 of S, deleting this finite set M to G. And this one is called a G local system, L. We can also consider this LB. That's just we change the fiber, so this LG. We change the fiber to the flag varieties. And this is the associate and bundle. So each fiber becomes a flag variety. And then so then we can define some further thing called a Borel decorated local system. So this is consists of two things, which is a local system L as before, and a set of flags associated to each mark the point, such that this BI is just a flat section of this associated bundle near each mark the point. Okay. So in particular, if this this is a puncture, so if this is a point inside, so then there is a monogamy around this GI, then I have to assume that this BI is invariant under the monogamy. GI, okay. So basically, given a local system, I should assign some flags to each market point. It looks like the Springer quadratic resolution somehow, basically. You assign extra data to the... Okay, so I will consider... So my modular space is this, denoted by XGS hat. This is just the set of all this Borel decorated local systems. And modular the conjugation of the group G, maybe the inner group of G. So that's the main definition. So maybe a few remarks on this space. So first of all, this one, this space is something called a positive space. Basically, we can define the positive points of this space. And actually, this one is something called higher Tag-Müller space. I think a PGL2 case is the original Tag-Müller space. And also, this one is closely related to like Hitching system, I guess, due to the works of Gaito, Moronetsky. Okay, so. Just want to convince you that this space is kind of interesting. And so now we want to study some natural actions on this space. So that's the second half of part two, the natural actions. So first of all, there is we can consider the mapping class group. Gamma is a mapping class group. Of S hat deleting M. And clearly, this group acts on the space GS hat. Okay. So basically, by changing the underlying space S, we can create an action on this. And so now we can also change this group G. So we can consider the automorphism of group. And since this is already modular, the inner group action, so we can consider this outer group action. And this one also acts on this modular space. Okay. So here, this outer group basically corresponding to the isomorphisms of a Dynkin diagram of G. For example, if G is PGRM, so this is a group of type A, the Dynkin diagram is just something like this. So there is an isomorphism by just like exchange this by reflection. So basically, we know this group is G mod 2. Okay, so those two groups act on the space. So now we want to show that this modular space has some natural cluster Poisson structure such that all those group actions are just cluster automorphisms. So I think this is a theorem. So this modular space X admits a natural cluster Poisson structure such that, so we can consider the mapping class group action, we can also consider the outer group action. And it's easy to show that they commute. And this one actually is a subgroup of this class modular group. So recall we defined this class modular group in the first part. And the theorem says that this one is actually a subgroup of this. So maybe I should mention, so if G is type A, then this is a result of Falk and Gontroff. And maybe about 11 years ago. And if this is a classical type, and also maybe type G2, this is a result of Yan Li, maybe last year, maybe 2 years ago. Okay, so for G of general type, namely type F and E as well, this is maybe a recent work of Gontroff and myself, and I should say this is still work in progress. So besides those two group actions, there is another group action which is kind of interesting. So this is called the Weyl group action. So first of all, recall for any element, maybe a generic element of the group G, so we can consider the set of all flags such that this is invariant under this G action. And actually this one is a Weyl group torsor, so W torsor, namely the Weyl group X freely and transitively on this set. So, for example, if G is PGLM, then this data is like, so the Weyl group is just the permutation group. So then this a choice of G invariant flag brow. This is the same as like an ordering of eigenlines of this group G. Okay. So then this well group naturally acts on this by permutes the eigenlines. Okay. And so here, this well group actually only works for generic elements, but actually one can show that it works for arbitrary G as well. There is a natural regular action on all this. So so now if for any well group element and any puncture, so any point inside, recall that so our data just assign a GP invariant flag to this puncture. So this well group action just takes a broad decorated flag local system to something like L and BI prime. We just change this decoration. So BI prime is still the same as B. If sorry, maybe two more minutes. If I is not equal to P, and BP prime is just I just change the flag associated to this puncture by this well group element. So, and it's also a theorem of Gontrov and myself. So assume that this decorated surface is not a once punctured surface. Namely, we want to exclude a list of surface like this, just maybe genus 1 with one puncture, and genus 2 with one puncture, and genus 3 with one puncture. So any surface like this is not good for us. And for this one, we can also show that this well group action also is X by cluster automorphisms. So basically, we consider the large group K. That's well, somehow the product of mapping class group, the automorphism of G, and also maybe semi-product with W and P. And this is also subgroup of this class modular group. And one can also show there is a nice element called CGS hat of this K. So for this mapping class group, I will consider some. So for each called RS, so there are marked points to the boundary. So I just rotate this by one. So this will give us an element of mapping class group. So this is cyclic shift by one. Okay. And for this outer group, I consider a star. This is called the Gadin maybe involution. So for this PGRM, this is just the non-trivial element of this. And for this W, I should take all those longest element W node. This is the longest. Okay. So the theorem asserts that maybe I just write here. So if G is classical type and also type G2, then this CGS hat is the clustered Donaldson-Thomas transformation. Okay, so we give a concrete construction of the Donaldson-Thomas transformation for this modular space. In particular, it implies that the Fock-Gontcharoff duality conjecture is true for this. Okay, I think that's all. Thanks. Yes, we give a concrete sequence of mutations. So you just take the corresponding products, they will give us DT invariants.
Do they match
the mutations? Yes, I think so. Here I exclude this, in particular, I exclude this once punctured surface, but I think even for this one, and for G is maybe BGL2, one can concrete compute this. I mean, still it works. I think the Concewicz compute this, and it matches with the original. So conjecture, this works for all. Okay, and for this one, it matches with the old. Okay. So the conjecture works for arbitrary group and arbitrary surface. Yes.
Any other questions?
Thank you very much.